coming to the week of Hoy, the week of Pesach Sheni, the week of the Holy Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Lag BaOmer, which every year I speak about to try to connect us more to the Yontif, to feel more of a connection to the Yontif. The Nin of Pesach Sheni and Lag BaOmer. And to the light of Rabbi Akiva, which is shining at this time. The Gemara says in Yevamos, it's a Gemara that everybody here knows. The Gemara says, on the Pasuk, there's a Pasuk in Kehelas. The Pasuk says, "Vabayke zra zarecha." In the morning you shall plant. In the morning you shall plant with your seeds, with the plant. V'la'erev al tanach yadecha. And in the night you shouldn't hold your hands back from planting. You should continue to plant. V'abayik ezra zarecha, v'la'erev al tanach yadecha. In the morning you should plant, and in the evening, al tanach yadecha, don't withdraw your hands from planting, but to continue. The Gemara there learns this pasuk. The Gemara learns this pasuk regarding Rabbi Akiva. Shama shahilo tamidim yaldusai. Rabbi Akiva said that he had students when he was a young man, relatively young. He had students in his younger years. Yilu tamidim zeknusai. He's going to have students in his older years. Amr yud bei zelov zugas tamidim hayul al Rabbi Akiva gvasvat atiparis. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students, 12,000 pairs of students throughout Eretz Yisrael, and they all died during one period of time because they didn't honor each other. And the world was desolate. Listen to the words. And the world was desolate, was empty. The world was desolate, was empty. The world was destroyed. Ad sheba Rabbi Akiva, etzer Rabbi Seinu shebedorim v'shanolaha, until Rabbi Akiva came and taught Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Loz ben Shemua, v'heim himudu teira isesha. Until he came and he taught these five new students, and Torah was reestablished, it was established in that time. They all died from Pesach until Shavuos. And the Shulchan Aruch says that our customs of mourning during Svir until Lag BaOmer, because until that time the students of Rabbi Akiva died. Of course, differences of opinion, bugs all over. Differences of opinion regarding the period of time in which the students died and so on. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So we have a few questions to understand. Why was it that this happened after during the time of Sphere? Why did this happen during this time of Sphere Simon? Why was it that after the students of Rabbi Akiva that had to die? It's a terrible thing. Students of Rabbi Akiva. I think more than anything, what is the meaning of that when the Gemara says, that the world was completely destroyed and desolate and empty? What does that mean? In general, there's a seder, there's an order in creation that works. Vizarach Hashemesh uvah Hashemesh. Chazal say in the Pasuk, in Kohelas, that the sun sets and the sun also rises. Actually, Shoka Shimshah Shalzeh, Kvazacha Shimshah Shalzeh, that Hashem has arranged the world in such a way that before the sun sets, the sun rises. Which means that Hashem does not allow there to be, so it seems, in the order of creation, that there should be a period of desolation between between tkufos, between different periods. That Hashem causes the sun of the new generation, of the new period, to rise before the old generation, and that way has completely set. And over here, there's this horrible emptiness and desolation that is existing until Rabbi Akiva seeks and finds the five new students and teaches them and reveals to them the teachings of Torah. So what is the meaning of this ha'olam shamayim, that the world was empty? And the fact that the students stopped dying on the day of Lag BaOmer, which is going in the future to be the Hilula, the day of the Simcha of the Holy Tana, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And what connection do we have to that? To the Simcha of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that Rabbi Shimon is Lakol, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is for everyone, for every Jew. How could it be that such a person is for every Jew? His teachings are so exalted, so beyond our understanding. What's the Simcha of Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Shimon? So let's go through two very, very famous Gemaras very quickly, because everybody is familiar with these stories. And then we'll try a little bit to understand on our level what's going on. The first Gemara is in Menachos and Daf Chav Tes. This is one of the most famous Agadates in the whole Shas. The Gemara there says, B'shol shalom Moshe l'mor mitzol HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'yoshev v'koyesh ksarim la'isiyas. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up to heaven, when he went up to Shemayim, whatever that means, so he saw that Hashem was tying crowns to the letters of the Torah. So he asked Hashem, who is causing the delay? Where Rashi explains that you can't give these letters until these crowns are going to be sewn, are going to be attached. Who's causing this? Where do these crowns come from that you can't deliver the Torah in its present state? Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Adam Echad Yesh, there's going to be a person a number of generations from now, and his name is Akiva ben Yosef. And this Jew, Akiva ben Yosef, is going to teach, is going to reveal piles and piles of laws of halachas on every single kites, on every single point of every letter. On the points and the crowns of the letters, he's going to reveal piles and piles of halachas. So then it says in the Gemara, it's a whole long Gemara, but it says in the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem to be able to see this person in the future, to see Rabbi Akiva, and Hashem showed him. This whole thing, he saw the greatness of his learning, and it's very involved there in the Gemara. And finally, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, "Amal lefan of Rabbanu Shlalom, yesh lechadim kezev atanais and tari hadi." So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Hashem, you have a person like that, and you're giving the Torah through me. You have such a great person." Amal leshtay kachalav machshav lefan. Hashem says, "Be silent. This is the thought that came before me." So Hashem says to be silent. Amal lefan of Rabbanu Shlalom, yisanet erosai hareini scharo. Hashem, you showed me his greatness, you showed me his Torah, now reveal to me the reward that you're going to give this man. Reveal to me the reward that you have in store for Akiva ben Yosef. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to turn around, to step back. He saw a vision. Moshe Rabbeinu saw a vision of the flesh of Rabbi Akiva's body being weighed in the marketplace. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, this is the reward for studying Torah. You showed me the greatness of his Torah, and he's going to be cut up into pieces and sold in the marketplace. His flesh is going to be weighed in the marketplace. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Shtayk, be silent. Kach olav machshav lefanai. This is the thought that came before me from the very beginning of time. Be silent." That's one Gemara. The other Gemara is in Brachos that describes the death of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara in Brachos in Samach Aleph says, "B'shal sheitzias Rabbi Akiva l'harigas my kriyas mahaya." The time that Rabbi Akiva was taken out to be killed was the time of saying Shema. And they were tearing his flesh, combing his flesh with hot iron combs. Rabbi Akiva was saying Kriya Shema. Rabbi Akiva was makabel, was accepting upon himself Al Malchus Shemayim. Amalu Talmid of Rabbeinu Adkan, so the student says, Rabbi, even now, to such a degree, even now. Amalu Ham Kal Yom HaHi'isi Mitzdar Al Pasuk Zeh, my whole life I'm worried about this Pasuk. How will I be able to fulfill this verse when it says in the Torah, in Shema, V'ahavta Hashem Akecha B'chol Levavcha B'chol Nafshecha, that you have to love Hashem even if it means giving up your soul for Hashem. My whole life I'm worried, how would I be able to fulfill that verse of giving up my life, giving up my very life for the sake of Hashem out of love for Hashem. So I'm waiting for this opportunity my whole life. Then the Gemara ends up after his death. So it says, Yotza Baskol, and a voice came down from Shemayim and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, Sheyotza Nishmascha Bi'echa. Fortunate is Rabbi Akiva, whose soul left him be'echad, with oneness. Because he was saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Fortunate is Rabbi Akiva, whose soul departed in the way of echad, in the way of oneness. With the word one, and in the way of oneness, with the unification of Hashem. So you know, when you read the Gemara, the Gemara says, "Kol yomai hayisim itzdayar." All of my life, all of my life, I'm worried about this. Now, you know, everybody here knows that Rabbi Akiva never studied Torah, didn't study Torah until he was 40 years old, right? So, what does it mean, all of my life? Sounds like he says from the time that I was a child, I was worried about that. When clearly that wasn't the case. Kol yoma ha'isim etzdayer. All of my life I was worried to die al kiddush Hashem, that I should have the opportunity to give up my life for the unification of God's name. You want to say from the time when he was 40 years old, that wasn't his entire life. Kol yoma ha'isim etzdayer sounds as if my entire life, my whole life, I was worried, how would I be able to fulfill the verse of loving God even if it means giving up my soul, my life. So let's learn something very, very deep in the writings of the Arizal. But here you have to mamish pay attention, because I'm not going to be so clear. Listen carefully. In the writings of the Arizal, we're taught the following. When it says in the Gemara that a voice came down from heaven after Rabbi Akiva died and said, Ashrecha, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, Sheyotza Nishmasa Be'echad. How fortunate are you? You're fortunate, Akiva, that your soul left Be'echad in oneness. So the Arizal taught, listen carefully, the Arizal taught that the letters Akiva spell are the same letters as the word Yaakov Aleph. Right? Akiva is the word Yaakov Echad. Aleph means one. Yaakov Aleph. Akiva is Yaakov Aleph. And Arizal said that Yaakov Avinu sinned on his level. You don't understand what this means, but on his level. Yaakov Avinu sinned when he sent Yosef, his son, alone to meet the brothers. When he sent him alone to meet the brothers, he didn't accompany him, knowing that Yosef would be in grave danger. He sent Yosef without accompanying him. So the Arizal said that in doing so, Yaakov sinned. And this sin was so horrible because it almost brought about a destruction of the oneness of God's name. And the reason is because Hashem's name is complete when the sons of Yaakov are alive and well and functioning each in his own way in his own world. And because Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef without the accompaniment, he didn't stay with him. So because of that, kimat hifrid es hayichud chas v'shol, the Arizal said, he almost destroyed the oneness. He almost shattered the oneness of God's presence in the world. which depends upon the tribes, the Shivtei Kah and Yosef HaTzadik, in particular, as we'll talk about in a few moments, being alive. Therefore, the Arizal said that when Yaakov Avinu finally would meet Yosef in Mitzrayim, and he would finally, when there would be this remarkable reunion between the two of them in Egypt. So everybody remembers that at that moment, Yaakov read Kriyat Shema. Yaakov Avinu was saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, when they met. Yosef was crying. And Yaakov is saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The purpose of this, the Arizal taught, was, because since originally what had happened was that he sent away Yosef and Adulam, so he broke up the world, the perfect one world of the tribes, which could bring about the, God forbid, the shattering of God's oneness. Now that there's this reunification, of the Shvatim, meaning Yaakov now meets with Yosef, so what Yaakov, you know, must do at this time is to...
There's no way to do this. Can you please tell them in my name? There's a base measure downstairs.
So now, Yaakov says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, to repair the Yichud, to repair the oneness and the unification upon meeting Yosef again. But the Arizal taught that this oneness, this Yichud, was not completed because of different things that Yosef went through and so on. The Yichud, the unification, was not completed. And therefore, a Gilgul had to take place, a reincarnation had to take place. I'm not explaining how reincarnations work. And therefore, a Gilgul had to take place with Rabbi Akiva. That somehow Rabbi Akiva is a reincarnation of the unification of Yaakov Avinu and Yosef. Yaakov reappears in the world through Rabbi Akiva, which is Yaakov with an Aleph, because now the oneness is repaired. That's why it's Yaakov with an Aleph, because Aleph means oneness. Yaakov Echad. Now Yaakov has repaired the Achdus, has repaired the oneness through Rabbi Akiva. And that is the meaning. Upon the death of Rabbi Akiva, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva Sheyotza Nishmascha Be'echad. How fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, in parentheses, equals Yaakov Avinu. Because now that your soul has left, that you have died, the oneness has been compared, and the inyan of Kriyashma, of saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, has brought us all back together. That's why the Arizal spoke a great deal about the fact that Rabbi Akiva, both Rabbi Akiva and Yaakov Avinu, were shepherds. Both of them suffered terribly in order to find their true zivug, their true match, the true shidduch. They had to go through suffering. Both of them had two wives. Yaakov Avinu married Rachel, and Rachel is the mystery of Rachel, the daughter of Kalba Savua. Rabbi Akiva married his Rachel, and Yaakov married Rachel, and Yaakov also married Leah, who's hidden holiness, and Rabbi Akiva later on in his life married the wife of Thunisrupas Arasha, the wife of the Roman general who converted, which is also hidden holiness. So Rabbi Akiva brings back to life and corrects and repairs whatever subtle thing was wrong and lacking in the oneness of Yaakov Avinu. So Akiva is Yaakov Echad. And that's Ashrecha, Rabbi Akiva, Sheyotza Nishmascha Be'echad. How fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, that your soul left you in oneness. Now let's understand. Because of this, because of what we just learned, the Arizal taught also that Rabbi Akiva is the Indian of Mashiach ben Yosef. Rabbi Akiva is Mashiach ben Yosef. Now everybody here has heard of Mashiach ben David, Mashiach the son of David, and Mashiach ben Yosef.
Yeshua.
So everybody's heard of Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is much, much more mysterious. According to Arizal, Akiva ben Yosef is the appearance of Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef has appeared at different times. The Arizal hinted that he himself was Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef is not only one person that comes at the end of time. Mashiach ben Yosef has appeared at different times in history. And the Arizal taught that Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef was Mashiach ben Yosef. Because Sof Kol Sof, we just spoke about that he was the correction of whatever damage took place between Yaakov and Yosef. So Akiva ben Yosef is Mashiach ben Yosef, the repaired oneness between Yaakov and Yosef. And that's what we find in the Gra. That's what we find that the Vilna Gaon writes, and there's students bringing his name, that Akiva ben Yosef equals 391. The name Akiva ben Yosef equals 391, which is the gematria of the name Yehoshua. And Yehoshua, the significance of Yehoshua is that he is the prototype of Mashiach ben Yosef. Yehoshua was the beginning of Mashiach ben Yosef. And therefore the Gra says that the name Akiva ben Yosef equals the gematria of Yehoshua, who is the most powerful original appearance of Mashiach ben Yosef in the world. So to understand this, we have to go back to Gemara we've discussed in the past. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, so many other places, in Sanhedrin, in the Medrash, in many places, and we've spoken about it many times. Until Mashiach comes, we'll speak about it. And Chazal say that all of history is divided into three parts, each contains 2,000 years. Mashiach Alfei Shanim Havi Alma. The world consists of 6,000 years, broken into three parts. Shnei Alofim Toihu. Some Chazal says Alpayim Toh. The first 2,000 years of existence are called the 2,000 years of emptiness. 2,000 years of emptiness. And then there's the Shnei Alofim Toihu. Then there are 2,000 years of Toihu. And then there's Shnei Alofim Alpayim Yemos HaMashiach. 2,000 years that are called the days of Mashiach. And the Gra explains, the Vilna Gaon, who poured so much of his astounding energy, his absolutely astounding energy, into this whole lineage of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. There's a whole sefer from the Vilna Gaon, Kol HaTor, from a student, what the Gra taught. The Vilna Gaon says that Yemos HaMashiach, when it says the final series of the 2,000 years, Yemos HaMashiach is talking about Mashiach ben Yosef. Until Mashiach Tzidkenu, Mashiach ben David arrives, the final set, 2,000 emptiness, 2,000 Torah, 2,000 days of Mashiach, means the 2,000 years of the days of Mashiach ben Yosef that precede, and during that time there will be different Mashiach ben Yosefs, that precede the final coming of Mashiach ben David. That's what the Gra taught. And according to the Gra, and this is found also in the writings of the Arizal, the beginning of the new period of the 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach is from Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef. Rabbi Akiva was the turning point who began the world of Mashiach ben Yosef, began to work from the time of Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, according to the Tzaddik, according to the Sefer HaKadosh. That's the beginning of the days of Mashiach ben Yosef, from Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef. To understand this on our level, the Gemara tells us that there are many reasons that are given in the Gemara for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There are many reasons that are given for the destruction of Malchus, of the kingdom of the Jewish people, and the failure of of the Jewish people to sustain the malchus of Hashem in this world. But the conclusion of the Gemara is that although there are many things that contributed to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but lo nechrava Yerushalayim ela al shehamidu divrayim al din Torah. But ultimately, the reason that Yerushalayim was destroyed is because they did everything exactly according to din Torah. Now you're wondering, that sounds like a wonderful thing. Why should that bring the destruction of Yerushalayim? Halavai, we should be able to keep all the dinim, right? We should be able to keep all the laws of the Torah. So the Gemara tells us that there are two ways to live in this world. There are two ways to observe the Torah. One way is to do what's expected of you. That's called din Torah. That's to live according to halacha. That's what's expected of every Jew, is to live according to halacha. But then there's something else that's called lifnim mishuras hadin. What is lifnim mishuras hadin? It means the ability of a person to do more than what's expected of him, to go beyond the measure of the law. Even though according to halacha, it could be that in this particular case, you're right. And because you're right, you could demand a certain kind of justice and so on. Lifnim Mishuras HaDin dictates that a Jewish person has the koach to awaken within himself, within herself, the desire to go beyond the duty, to go beyond the specific, exact requirements of Jewish law in order to have more compassion. To do more than what you have to do. So the Gemara tells us that the reason Yerushalayim was destroyed, because they did everything according to Din Torah. They were very, very frum. Everything was 100% according to Halacha Shulchan Aruch. You owe me $100, pay up $100. This has to happen to you, this happens to you. So Chazal tell us that because Hashem lives with the Jewish people in the way that's called Mida Keneged Mida, He lives with us in the way that we live with Him. So the Gemara tells us that because we were living in this way of exact law, so Hashem said, you know what? You guys are living according to the exact law, so according to exact laws, you have to be destroyed and killed for the things that you're doing. If you would have behaved in that way of lifnim mishuras hadin, in other words, had you gone beyond the measure of law, had you worked beyond that requirement of specific halacha to have more rachmanis, and to have more heart, and so on, if you would not have demanded a life precisely according to the minimum requirement of law, and to demand the exact requirements of law, so then Hashem said, then I too would have reacted in such a way, and I would have overlooked some of your problems. But the way that you were with each other is that you did everything according to din. So because of that, Hashem says, I too will live in this way with you. I'll go according to din. And according to din, Yerushalayim has to be destroyed. So the Gemara says, even though there are different reasons, there are different problems with the Jews that Yerushalayim was in danger, but the Gemara itself says that the Makaba Patish, the final thing that really brought about the destruction of Yerushalayim was that the Jews insisted upon living in the way of din, strict judgment, and Hashem says, Abazoy, if that's how you want to live according to strict judgment, then I'm going to live with you also in the way of strict judgment. So had we not gone that way of din, then Hashem was prepared to overlook, but to work with us regarding all the other affairs that we were involved in. Hashem would have worked with us. But because we weren't working with each other, and we said, din, has to be din. So Hashem said, that's it, so you'll get din. That's what you like, that's what you'll get. So in all of history, listen carefully, in all of history, there's one Jew who the very essence of his life was lifnim mishuras hadin, not to just settle, not to do just what's expected, but to go beyond what any human being could ever expect of you, even what Hashem would ask of you. Chazal tell us that the waters of the Red Sea didn't want to split, not for Moshe Rabbeinu, not for the entire Jewish people. And the only reason that the waters split of the Red Sea was because of what? The Aron Yosef Yosef, the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. And the Gemara itself asks, what about this? Even the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu and the whole Jewish people wasn't enough to split the waters? But only when the waters of the Red Sea saw the bones of Yosef HaTzadik, then Hayom Ra Vayonos. The water, the ocean saw and ran away. Ma Ra, what did the waters see? Aronus Yosef. the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. And what does this have to do with Yosef HaTzadik? So the Gemara says that regarding Yosef HaTzadik, the Pasuk says, when he was tempted to go with the wife of Potipharah, so it says in the Pasuk that Yosef HaTzadik was able to strengthen himself in a way that no human being could ever understand or could ever expect from himself or anybody else. Because according to Din, it was impossible for him, according to the measure of what's human and what's expected of any human being, of any person, there was no way for Yosef HaTzadik to overcome that temptation, which is beyond our understanding what that temptation was for him. But regarding Yosef HaTzadik, the Torah says, Vayonas Vayetze Achutza, he ran away and he left her and he ran away, he ran outside. So because of the power and the energy of Yosef HaTzadik, who was able to run away, even though it was not something that could have ever been expected of him, because of that, the ocean would now overcome its nature. The nature of the ocean is to remain, of course, together. That's the nature of the ocean. None of us have ever seen oceans do anything else. So the nature of the ocean is to remain together. But because Yosef HaTzadik was able to overcome his nature in the way of lifni mishuras hadin, because lifni mishuras hadin does not only mean between one person and another person, it means within a person's life, himself or herself, to push yourself weiter, to go a little bit further than what you're required to do. So because Yosef HaTzadik was able to lift himself up to a place that was above nature, therefore the ocean no longer was forced. Once the ocean saw the bones of Yosef, the ocean was no longer forced to remain steadfast in the way of nature. And the ocean also went Hayom Ra'a Vayonos. The ocean saw and ran away. Just like Yosef HaTzadik was able to go in the way of lifting the Mishur Zadin, even though it can't be demanded of me, Yosef was able to overcome his nature and to go in that way of lifting the Mishur Zadin. So too the ocean was able to go in the way of lifting the Mishur Zadin and to split it apart for the Jewish people. And that's why, by the way, Yaakov, you know, loved Yosef in such an amazing way. That's why Yaakov loved Yosef, because Yaakov is Torah. Yaakov is Din, Yaakov is Torah. That's what we know. Yaakov means what? Emes. Emes is truth. Truth means what? Exactly the truth. That's what truth means. Yaakov is Torah, which is truth. Why did Yaakov, you know, love Yosef in such an amazing way? Because Yaakov, you know, understood that Yosef is the power of going beyond the Din. Lift the Mishur said Din. And Yaakov understood that without that, he is lost. If a person is to remain always in that stiff, perfect stance of Din and lacks the ability to move beyond Din, so then, God forbid, there can't be any future for the Jewish people. So Yaakov loved Yosef because Yosef was the ability to go beyond Din. Yaakov himself is Torah, but Torah needs the redemption of lifting the Mishur Sadin, of something which is not always 100% I'll be Torah, but is beyond what the Torah wants and expects of you. And that's the Inyan of Mashiach ben Yosef. That's the whole Inyan of Mashiach ben Yosef. When the Vilna Gaon is telling us that the final 2,000 years that are called Yemos HaMashiach, before Mashiach ben David, that those 2,000 years are talking about Mashiach ben Yosef, it means that what Hashem is waiting for most during these last 2,000 years is the ability for a Jewish person to go lift in the Mishur Sadin, and we understand that. We, the generation that's living after the destruction of the Jews of Europe, understands when the whole world is filled with the unbelievable sweet fragrance, the sweet fragrance of the flesh of the Jewish people that was burned and gassed and destroyed in Europe, the fragrance of lift in the Mishur Sadin, the fragrance of pushing to stand up to be a Jew no matter what, with Mesiris Nefesh in the way of Yosef HaTzadik. The whole tikkun, the whole correction, rectification, repair, exaltedness of the Jewish people at the end of time depends on a Jewish person's ability, even though you don't understand why, and according to the strict letter of the law, it doesn't make sense of you, doesn't make sense to you, but to be able to push beyond. The whole way of Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef was that he was killed, that he was butchered, sliced into pieces, tortured, Al Kiddush Hashem, in the way of Lifnei Meshuras Hadin. That was the beginning of the period of Mashiach ben Yosef, the life of Akiva ben Yosef. The person who started this world without understanding anything, and then gave up his life to bring this oneness, this unification of God's name. So the holy name Mashiach ben Yosef, the holy name Mashiach ben Yosef means the 2,000 years of death Al Kiddush Hashem, because for the last 2,000 years, the final 2,000 years of Jewish history, is one ongoing horrible, horrible, blood-filled tale of Jews dying and going lifting the Mishras Adin for the sake of a God that they barely understand. And now we understand something else, an amazing thing also in the Kisvei Ha'ari. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to do that. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Shlach no v'yad tishlach. Send with the one who you will send. Don't send them out with me." And the Arizal said that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Shlach no v'yad tishlach," he was talking about Rabbi Akiva. That's what the Arizal said. The Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, "Send with the one who is worthy." That's Rabbi Akiva. Why is that? Because Moshe Rabbeinu saw that after the redemption from Egypt, the Jewish people are going to be thrown into terrible, terrible exiles. It wasn't going to be the final redemption. And Moshe Rabbeinu desperately was longing for the final redemption. And the beginning of the final redemption that would begin with Mashiach ben Yosef, which is Akiva ben Yosef, was what Moshe Rabbeinu was seeking. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that the reason that we're being taken out of Mitzrayim now is in order to receive the Torah. And the Torah is going to be given in Har Sinai. That means Din. That means Torah. That means Jewish law. That means Halacha. That's why we're being taken out of Egypt. The redemption from Egypt that takes place in order to allow the Jewish people to live according to the law, according to Halacha. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood that the final redemption of Mashiach ben David depends upon the Jewish people going through a period of what? Not Torah exactly. Exact halacha and Torah. Of course, you have to observe halacha and Torah. But beyond lifnei meshuras hadin, dying for the sake of God's name, giving up the things that you want and the things that you're comfortable with and excited about for the sake of being a Jew. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is seeking the complete and total and final redemption of the Jewish people, said, "Shlach no biyad tishlach." Shlach no biyad tishlach means Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, the final Gula, the Gula that's going to take place with Kiddush Hashem. That's why it's an interesting thing. It says in the Shlach HaKadosh, the Shlach HaKadosh explains that before Mashiach, it's going to be the nature of the Jewish people before Mashiach to seek all kinds of chumras, to seek stringencies in Jewish law, like to do more than they have to. The Shlach says it. So I have to understand things that are going on a little bit now, maybe to be in Lama Schus and some of the crazy things that we see. That's not so crazy. That the need of the Jewish people to go lift in the Mishra Sedin to do more than they have to. Of course, the Shlom meant that they should do everything that they have to, and more than they have to. Not just to pick like the whole Yiddishkeit revolves around, you know, Chol Yisrael or something. It means you have to do everything else plus the things that are to push extra, to push harder. And that's why Rabbi Akiva died in such a horrible way. Because Akiva ben Yosef is the beginning of the way of Mashiach ben Yosef. And the way of Mashiach ben Yosef means Kiddush Hashem. It means going beyond what you understand and dying. Dying doesn't only mean you have to die. Physically, dying means every moment of life, giving up for the sake of Hashem, is a life of Lifnei Meshuras Hadin, is a life of Kiddush Hashem. That begins with Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef. So now we can understand. Chazal tells that in Rabbi Kiva's life, Rabbi Kiva lived to be 120. It's also interesting, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Rabbi Kiva lived to be 120, and Chazal tells us that there were three periods to the life of Rabbi Kiva. Arboim Shona Hayabur. That for 40 years, Rabbi Kiva was an empty, ignorant person, an Am Haaretz. Mem Shona Lomad. For 40 years, Rabbi Kiva studied Torah. Became the greatest scholar in the world. Omem Shona Shimesh Yisrael, and for 40 years, with great devotion, he served the needs of the Jewish people. He gave to Klal Yisrael. So we could understand now, according to what we're learning, that Rabbi Akiva's life is parallels the history of the world. The first 40 years of Rabbi Akiva's life are 40 years of emptiness that parallel the 2,000 years of emptiness in the world. 2,000 years, Alpayim, the Shnei Alafim Tohu, 2,000 years of emptiness equal, correspond to the first 40 years of Rabbi Akiva's life that are 40 years of Tohu. 40 years of emptiness. And then there were 40 years where he accumulated 24,000 students. This corresponds to 2,000 years of Torah. To the second period of all of history, which is 2,000 years of Torah. See, Rabbi Akiva is the end. Rabbi Akiva is the final, brings the final gula. If Rabbi Akiva has to contain within him the history of all, of everything. Rabbi Akiva contains within him the entire history of the world. So the first 40 years are the 40 years of emptiness, which correspond to 2,000 years of Torah. And the second 40 years correspond, when he accumulated those students, those correspond to the 2,000 years of Torah. And that's why, by the way, now we can understand why is it, this is what I asked at the very beginning, why is it that when Rabbi Akiva's students died, the Gemara says that Hayaha Olam Shomein, that the whole world was completely empty and desolate. The whole world was destroyed. Because this is a great principle in the writings of the Maharal and all this Svarim HaKadoshim. That in order for a new world order to be established, in order for a completely new period to come into the world, just like the Gemara describes the horrible things that have to take place before the coming of Mashiach. And the Maharal explains the reason for that is that in order to make room for a new level of existence, the old order has to be destroyed. If the old order is pushing into the new way, there can't be a completely new way. So there must be a destruction of the old order in order to make room for the completely new world. So therefore we see that after the 2,000 years of Torah, after the second series of 40 years in Rabbi Akiva's life came to a conclusion, that the whole world became desolate. And the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died. Because those 24,000 students were part of the world of Torah. They were part of that order that was called Torah. And that order of the world that was called Torah was now concluded. And we're now beginning the period of time, which is the period of Mashiach ben Yosef, the 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. Therefore, the world had to be, Shamim had to be empty. Because Rabbi Akiva had two types of students. Students that he had from before the destruction. Those are the students from the first part of the pasuk. It says, Babok Ezra Zarecha. In the morning, sow the seeds. In the morning, plant. Those were the students that Rabbi Akiva had during the 40 years that correspond to the 2,000 years of Torah. In the morning, plant the seeds. Those are the students of the morning, the students of the period of Torah. And the second part of the pasuk says, "And la'erev al tanach yadecha." But when the evening falls, when the sun sets, that's referring to the end of time. The students that he had at the end of time, meaning the students that he had after the destruction of the world, the final set of students that Rabbi Akiva had are the students of la'erev al tanach yadecha, are the students of the evening, meaning the days before Mashiach, that period of Yemos HaMashiach, which begins with Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, who's Mashiach ben Yosef. Tortured to death, Rabbi Akiva, when he was saying Shema to bring to this oneness. Rabbi Akiva said, "Kol yomai, all of my life, I'm worried about this pasuk. All of my life, I'm worried to fulfill this verse." It doesn't mean that when he was 10 years old and 15 years old, he understood all that was going to be with him. But there was something in his personality from the very beginning that was not settled. There was something within him that was seeking a way of lifting the Mishur Saddin. There's no way to explain a 40-year-old man turning his life around in such a way and becoming the Gadol Hador unless we can understand that Rabbi Akiva, even before he was 40 years old, was Kol Yomai. All of his life, he was Mitztayer. He didn't understand which pasuk, but there was something in him that wasn't settled. There was something in him that caused him anguish. And what was causing him anguish was that he felt within him that it was time to live in the way of Meshuras Adin, in the way beyond Torah, in the way beyond the letter of the law, to go more and more and more to Dial Kiddush Hashem. And that's why this happened during Sfiras Omer. That's why this happened during Sfiras Omer. What's the holy name of Sfiras Omer? The holy name of Sfiras Omer is for a person to be able to lift his or her life up to a way that is lifting the Meshuras HaDin. That's what Sfiras Omer means. The 49 days after Pesach are days of Vayonas Vayetze, are days when the Jewish person is asked by Hashem to try to run away, to escape from the normal, constricting, confining things of this world. That each week this Chesed and Gevur and Tiferes and Netzach and Hayd and Yisrael till finally you come to Malchus of Mashiach in your own life, which is Malchus of Mashiach, when you finally have been able to escape from all the ugliness. The sixth week of Yosef HaTzadik, which is Yisod in particular, is that final tearing yourself away from the ugliness and the pollution of this world. That's the sixth week of Yosef HaTzadik, which is Yisod. The whole work of Sfiras Omer is lifting the Meshuras HaDin. Lifting the Meshuras HaDin. And the students of Rabbi Akiva didn't act in such a way towards each other. The students of Rabbi Akiva didn't act in the way of lifting the Meshuras HaDin. They acted with each other in such a way of din. And din means, this is the way it is, and this is the halacha, and that's it, finish. They didn't go beyond that. And because of that, they died during the time, since Rabbi Akiva, the whole essence of the Rebbe is lifting the Meshuras HaDin. That's the whole essence of Rabbi Akiva is lifting the Meshuras HaDin. And his students were not able to live up to that way of lifting the Meshuras HaDin. Therefore, they were not privileged to be part of that final period of history, which is the period of Yemasa Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef. The final period of Rabbi Akiva's life when he raised the five students. And that's why it's during this week of Hayd of Lag Ba'omer. That's why it's during this week that Pesach Sheni takes place. Does anybody have a tissue, a napkin or something? Maybe? A handkerchief. Shkoyach. What does Pesach Sheni mean? So you remember the story that Pesach Sheni, which is coming up, everybody should have some matzah on Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, you know what it means. The story of Pesach Sheni, I don't have time to go into right now in detail, but the story was that there were Jews who wanted to be good. There were Jews who wanted to be pure. And they had every intention of being pure. The problem was that they were carrying the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. And because they were carrying the bones of Yosef HaTzadik, they couldn't be pure on time to bring the Korban Pesach with the rest of the Jewish people, right? That's what happened. They were carrying the body of Yosef HaTzadik. And the rule was, according to the din, according to the strict level of the strict law, the halacha was, sorry fellas, you're tummy. You know, you're impure. According to the din, you're impure. And because according to halacha, you're not pure, the strict law dictates that you can't bring a Korban Pesach. Finished. It came to Yud Dalet Nisan, the 14th of Nisan. You were tamei, you were impure. There's nothing to do about it. But they cried and they were begging and they said, Lama Nigara, why should we be less? Look, we were the ones that were carrying Yosef HaTzadik's bones. And the meaning of that is that with tremendous, tremendous crying and begging to go lift the Meshuras HaDin with Hashem, to ask Hashem, that was not just to settle for what the law was, but to say, Hashem, we can't live with this law. We were trying to live in the way of Yosef HaTzadik. We took care of the bones of Yosef HaTzadik when the rest of the Jewish people were getting ready for Pesach. We were involved with the Yom Mitzvah, and we were connected to the way of Yosef HaTzadik. And the whole way of Yosef HaTzadik means lift the Meshuras HaDin. So we're asking you, Hashem, lo man nigor, why should we suffer because of this? And Lamaisa, what happened was, as a result of it, they were able to draw a new parish into the Torah. Which Chazal said, this wasn't even written in heaven above. That because of the screaming and the crying of these Jews, they were able to bring into the world a new yontif that's called Pesach Sheni. And that yontif of Pesach Sheni did not exist before this. It didn't exist. They brought Pesach Sheni into the world. Because Pesach Sheni means there's something that goes beyond din. Din, strict law dictates that there's only one Pesach. Strict law dictates that if you're talking about you can't bring a Korban Pesach. You have one chance and you blew it. That's what strict law dictates. But those Jews who were living in the way of Yosef HaTzadik, who were carrying the bones of Yosef HaTzadik, whose whole life was an embodiment of this way of lifting the Mishur said, then pushing beyond. They weren't satisfied with Hashem's answer that according to the din, you can't bring the Korban Pesach. And they cried and they begged in the way of Mashiach ben Yosef, in the way of Yosef HaTzadik. And Hashem said, you know what? These people are in the way of Yosef. They go lifting the Mishur said, then when everybody else is getting ready for Pesach, they're carrying the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. So I'm going to go with them in the way that lifting the Mishur said, then I'm going to open up for them a new world that's called Pesach Shein. A new thing that's not din. It's not din. Pesach Sheini isn't din. Pesach Rishon is din. Pesach Sheini is something different and new and amazing. That's Pesach Sheini. And that's also maybe a reason why during this time of the year it's the custom of the Jewish people to learn Pirkei Avos. Because the whole Indian of Pirkei Avos is to teach a Jew how to go lift the Mishur Saddin. To go vayte, to go lift the Mishur Saddin. It's the whole Indian of Pirkei Avos. Man, the boy lama hevich sida. If a person wants to become a tzaddik, to become a righteous person, and a chassid is someone that goes lift the Mishur Saddin, so Chazal say you learn Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos teaches you the way beyond. That weight of Yosef at tzaddik, that's what's taught in Pirkei Avos. The whole name Yosef means to add, to go beyond. Mashiach ben Yosef. Yosef Hashem li ben Acher. And now we come to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, to Lag BaOmer. Now we come to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Echad HaMiyuchad, the one, the most exalted, the most amazing of the students from the last period of Mashiach. From the students that he had, Rabbi Shimon is one of the students of the five students that Rabbi Akiva found after the destruction, after the world was completely empty, after the end of the 2,000 years of Torah. Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, touches the life of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon is the mystery of Mashiach Zikainu. Ruach HaPein Mashiach Hashem, Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Rabbi Akiva, as you know, Bikiva taught the secrets of the Torah in every single point, in every single crown, the mysteries of Torah. Bikiva was the master of Kabbalah, the master of the hidden Torah. That's Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva gave over the mysteries of Torah to his greatest disciple, to the one who was the master of the mysteries, which is Rabbi Shimon. Because the mysteries of Torah Kabbalah and the mysteries of Torah means lift naiva lifni mishur sadin. Torah says there's Torah and there's the hidden Torah. Torah is din. Torah tells you understand what's written. Torah says understand what you see before you on the page. Hidden Torah, Sisrei Torah means understand even that which isn't written. To go beyond, to push beyond. So Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef gives over the mysteries of Torah to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That's why in the song of Rabbi Shimon is the one who is Kodesh HaKadoshim. What does it mean he's the Holy of Holies? Because the Holy of Holies is that place which is called Lifnei Mishuras HaDin. It's the inner place. It's going beyond every other place in the world. That's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And that's why it says in the writings of the Vilna Gaon. Listen to the words that are said in the name of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon said that in the days that precede Mashiach, the side of evil will strengthen itself against all things. And in particular, the side of evil is going to battle, is going to fight against the teachings of the inwardness of Torah, against Kabbalah. And regarding that war of the side of evil against the deeper teachings of Torah, it says, Charfu ikvos mashichecha. That the side of evil disgraces and humiliates the ikvos, the footsteps, the heel of your anointed one, of Mashiach. And according to the Arizal, according to the Vilna Gaon, the reason that this galus has been going on for so long, it's been famous in the writings of the Gra in many, many places, in the writings of the Arizal, that the reason that the Golus is going on so long is because the Jewish people refuse to attach themselves to the study of the deeper essence of Torah. That doesn't mean that everybody here, on our level, that we're supposed to be studying the writings of the Arizal and the Zohar and Kabbalah, but it means to go lift the Mishur Saddin. Not just to learn the simple Pshat and the Mefarshim, but to learn whatever, to learn Makshava, to learn Ramchal, to learn Maharal, to learn Chassidus, to go lift them inside the essence of Torah. Each person on his or her level can go beyond what's written in the letters, to that place that's not written in the letters. And the Gro and the Arizal said the main reason the Mashiach hasn't come yet is because the side of evil has risen up against the inwardness of Torah, which is lifnim Ishuras Adin, the inner essence of Torah. And the Gro said, and the Arizal said, that those Jews who tried to teach secrets of Torah and tried to go into the depths of Torah are going to be humiliated and disgraced in public, are going to be made fun of by Torah scholars who are lacking in the inner depth of Torah. But there are Jews whose entire Torah is only what do we do? What do we do? But the way of Mashiach ben Yosef, of Akiva ben Yosef, the way of Lifnei Mishur Hadin is why do we do? How come? Why is this that we do? What's the deeper reason for this? The Jews should have a desire to live and to, and if necessary, to dial Kiddush Hashem because they understand they have a connection to the depths of Torah. And Hashem calls out to every Jew, why don't you go Lifnei v'Lifnim? Why don't you go into the Kodesh Kadosh? Listen to the words of the Tikkuni Zohar. Listen to this amazing paragraph from the Tikkuni Zohar. And this, there are a thousand places in the Zohar. And I just have to give you one or two. Listen to what it says in the Tikkuni Zohar. V'ruach Elokim rachef al pnei hamayim. And the Spirit, it says in the beginning of the Torah, and the Spirit of Hashem was hovering upon the waters. Bizman shashchina begolos. At the time that the Divine Presence is in exile, HaRuach Elokim, the Spirit of Hashem, HaShechina, the Divine Presence, Merachefes, Al Elu HaOskim B'Torah, is hovering upon those who are involved in the study of Torah that's called water. V'Ruach Machrezes B'Kol, and that Spirit, the Shechina, the Divine Presence of Hashem, calls out, Elu HaYishayinu B'Hevlei Oilam, those of you who are asleep in the vanities and the silliness of this world, V'Shechina, the nikvei einehem, and who have sleep in the holes of their eyes. Ve'en ha'secheh shelahem stumais, and the eyes of their mind's eyes are shut. Ve'libam atumim el hisbein, and the hearts are closed, and they don't gaze, they don't see. Kumu v'hisayru, the Shechina says. The Divine Presence is calling out now, and says, Kumu v'hisayru, wake up. Because Hashem gave you a heart and you don't think and you don't try to understand the Shechina. You don't study the deeper depths of Torah. And the Zohar says because of this, the spirit of Mashiach, the way of Mashiach can't come into the world, it's late. The Zohar says b'feirsh, that Mashiach cannot come into the world unless the Jewish people are Oisek Birazei Torah, Bisisrei Torah, unless the Jewish people are Oisek in the secrets of Torah. And again, because I know that there's going to be on a tape, and I know there are people that are going to be listening to this and be saying that Weinberg is telling everybody to study Kabbalah. I am not saying to study Kabbalah. B'shum Oifen, whoever says that in my name is doing an Aveira. What I'm saying is that each person on his or her own level has to go into the deep and to penetrate to the depths of Torah on that level that you're able to understand. Although the Zohar says Kabbalah. When I say the Zohar says Kabbalah. So, but blame it on the Zohar. Don't say I said that. Oy lahem sha'isim es ha'Torah li'yavosha. The Zohar says, oy, woe to those people who have made the Torah into dry land. Those people who spend their whole lives explaining how Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Beis can finally come together. Instead of telling you the etzem, the is, the essence, the inner light and the beauty of Torah. V'lo mishtadlu mechachmas ha-kabbalah. That's what the Zohar says. And they make no effort to understand the chachmas ha-kabbalah. They spend their whole life saying, you have to be 40 or something like that, right? Whatever that means, each person has their own level. And this is found in the writings of the Vilna Gaon over and over. In the writings of the Vilna Gaon, not the Chassidim, you understand? In the writings of the Vilna Gaon over and over and over again. As far as the Svarim are concerned, Ein Maladab, as far as the Svarim are concerned, they've been saying this from the very, very beginning. It's a Shaila. And the Svarim always learn the Svarim HaKadosh. It's not a Shaila. Rav Kook wrote, Achenu HaYikarim, listen to how beautiful, my precious brothers, Chachmei Torah, sages of Torah, Soifrim Mashpiim, scribes who influence others. Gam onu, noyalnu v'chatanu, we also have sinned. Lamadnu, we have studied Torah, v'chakarnu, and investigated Torah. Pilpanu v'chidashnu, we have come up with all kinds of hair-splitting discussions, and chidashnu, we've come up with new laws. Chidushim, new ideas in Torah. Kasavnu, we have written v'tziyanu, and so on. But we have forgotten Hashem and His great and powerful strength. We have not listened to the voice of the true prophets. To the voice of the most chosen of all generations. Lekol atzadikim v'chassidim, to the voice of the righteous and pure. Chachmei ha-musar v'chachmei iyun harozim, to the sages of Musar, of the ethics, and the chachmei iyun harozim, to the sages who study the secrets of Torah. Shetzobchu v'echriyuzu v'koylei koylus, who screamed and yelled at the top of their lungs. Kisof ha-nohar shel ha-talmud, listener of Cook's words. Kisof ha-nohar shel ha-talmud ha-maisi levado li'os yovesh v'chorev, that the end of the river of Talmud, of the Gemara, meaning Talmud HaMaisi, of practical halacha in the Gemara, Leos Yovesh V'chorev, will be totally dry and desolate, Imloy Namshich L'toychay Mayi Miniyam Meimed HaChachmosa V'Kabbalah, if we don't draw into the world, into the Torah, the waters of the hidden Torah. He says the river of the Talmud of the Gemara is going to become totally dry to the world, and no one will be able to stand it. Unless we draw into that beautiful world of the Talmud of the Gemara, the rivers of the hidden law, of the hidden Torah. Lifnei Mishur Hadin. Mayim Das Elokim, the waters of the knowledge of God. Mayim Tohar Hayamunu HaTohera HaNovas Midashmasenu Pnima, the waters that come from the very essence of our souls, of our beings. Mishor Shom Yimikor HaChayim. So now we come to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Ay, Rabbi Shimon Netana. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's the Torah of Mashiach Sekenus, the Torah of the Arizal, the Torah of the Vilna Gaon, the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov. That's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the pnimius of a Jew, is the essence of a Jew. That's why the Chiddushim said that everybody loves, everybody's connected to Lag Boim, everybody's connected to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon believed that there's a chain, there's a particular specific charm and beauty that's in the inner essence of a Jew. You see, if you're a person that only looks at the Torah from the outside, if your whole life is never to go inside, lift the Mishur Sadin, if you're always around the outside, you look at people the same way, you're shallow and superficial when you learn Torah, and you're shallow and you're superficial when you look at other people. There's a wonderful boy from my community who I just saw now in Eretz Yisrael. And I had spoken to him the night before I saw him. I spoke to him on the phone. And I asked him, how you doing? So he said, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi, I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. So we made a time to meet the next day. And when I saw him the next day, he came in, he was almost crying. He said, Rabbi, I'm so sorry for how I spoke. I said, how you spoke about what? He said, when we were on the phone yesterday, you asked me how I'm doing. I said, yeah. And I said, I'm Baruch Hashem, doing great. I'm doing wonderful. So I said, yeah, I know. It was, made me very happy. So he said, I thought maybe it was gaiva. I thought maybe I was being conceited when I said that. So I said to him, I said his name, and I grabbed him. I said, you mean they already took away from you your neshama, your soul? They took it away from you already. You're only in yeshiva for 6-7 months. They already taught you that you have to be broken and unhealthy. Rabbi Shalom, that the greatest thing in the world is to be besimcha and to be happy and to feel good about what you're doing and to be proud of yourself and that you're learning and that you're a Jew and you're in Yerushalayim. And he was worried that maybe he was being conceited. Because unfortunately, some of the people who are with him are people who look at him and look at everything in such a shallow, superficial way to take away the simcha that's in the depths of a Jew. It's not, God forbid, something that the yeshivas are supposed to be doing. It's not something that they are doing, God forbid, but they're individuals who are doing it. The yeshivas bechlal, chas v'shalom, the yeshivas give life, give Torah, give warmth. But there are pieces in that world that are not working out. When a Jewish boy tells me that he thought maybe he was being conceited by saying that he was happy. He was being gaivadik, like saying he was happiest. I had a girl who very often is sitting here in this chevra. There was a girl that once told me she was thinking about marrying a person who was speaking to her in a negative way, in a way that was not at all proper, but she thought maybe she should marry him because one of this boy's Rebbe told her, this boy's Rebbe told her that the reason you don't want to marry my student is because you have gaiva, you're too conceited. That's why you're not marrying my student. So she thought, maybe I should marry him because maybe I have a problem, I'm conceited. It could make you throw up, no? Your mamash could throw up. Superficial emptiness. Making Jews into little creatures that crawl on the earth and have no spine, have no life, no simcha, no joy. So Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai came and said to every Jew, listen, Yidden, you know, every page of the Zohar is filled with Rabbi Shimon's love for the Jewish people, because Rabbi Shimon saw to the depths of the Torah, therefore he saw to the depths of every Jew, and he saw the charm and the beauty and the life and the grace inside of each Jew. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was sent, was raised by Rabbi Akiva in the generation of Ikvus at the Mashiach. Because the Vilna Gaon said that at the end of time, Charfu Ikvos Mashiachecha, they're going to disgrace and humiliate the Ikvos, the heel, the footsteps of Mashiach. Now we understand that Rabbi Akiva, the name Akiva is Ekev, is the Ikvos Mashiachecha, is the footsteps, the heels of Mashiach Zaken, which means the depths of Torah, the inner depths of creation. The Ikvos of Mashiach Zakenu. Rav Kook had such a beautiful term for people who look at the outside of Torah. He called it Hashkafa Hayadutis, which means the childish Hashkafa. People who only looked at things without going to the depths in Torah, he called them little children. It's a childish Hashkafa. And that's the Cherpa, that's the disgrace of the Torah that takes place before Mashiach comes. That if a Jew wants to talk about something on a deeper level, and to understand Torah on a deeper level, then they tell you that you're, God forbid, that you're going against the Torah, that's not the way of the Jewish people, and so on. And that's what we sing to about Rabbi Shimon and Magbaimer Bar Yochai. Bar Yochai, Moshev Tov Yashavto. Oy Bar Yochai, you sit in such a good place. You have chosen for yourself such a good place to sit in. Yoim Nasta, Yoim Moshev Arachto. The day that you ran away, the day that you escaped, it sounds just like Yosef at Sadik. You hear it? Yoim Nasta, Yoim Moshev Arachto, the day that you ran away. B'moray Tzurim Shomadeta, when you went into that, into the cliffs, into the cave, and you hid in the cave. Sham kanisa haicha v'hadarecha. There you acquired your splendor and your beauty. Yom nasta yom eshabarachta. Rabbi Shimon teaches us the way to run away from the ugliness and the superficiality of this world, and to run into the cave of the pnimius, to turn into the very depths, into the essence. Bar yochai ashrei yoladetecha. Bar yochai, how fortunate is the one who gave birth to you. Ashrei ha'am him lomdecha. How fortunate are the people who study your teachings. V'ashrei ha'am demalsei decha. And how fortunate are the ones who struggle to understand your secrets. Levushei chayshin tumechu v'urecha. Who are proud to wear the Urim v'Tumim, the shining letters, the shining lights of the breastplate, of the Kohen Gadol that you gave to each Jew to see to the very depths of existence, of his own being, and to his friend, and to the world of Lifnei Mishuras Hadin. I think I told you once a story. I'm going to tell it very quickly now. It's late, and I don't even know how responsible I am for the things I've been saying for the last hour. Truthfully, I'm very tired. There was a disagreement between a Pinchas Karutz and the Baal Tanya about how much secrets of Torah to reveal. And I don't want to get into the whole history of it. It was a very, very big machlokas between people who loved each other. But the Baal Tanya was revealing many things. And there were others who were against the Baal Tanya's decision to reveal such things. Anyway, it's a whole arichus. But what happened is basically the following thing. The Baal Tanya said that once there was a prince, the son of the king, who the king loved in the deepest way, the prince became deathly ill. And there was no way, they didn't know what to do to save his life. And there was a wise man, I'm skipping details, it's not late. There was a wise man who instructed, who said that the only thing that could be done to save the life of the prince is to take the centerpiece of the crown, the stone from the center of the king's crown. I mean, he said that you need a certain kind of a stone, but it was discovered that there was no place that they could find that stone in time to save the life of the prince. The only place that stone existed was that it was the centerpiece of the crown, of the king's crown. And it would have to be crushed and mixed with water in order to provide a medicine that might maybe save the life of the prince. And the king was at a point where the prince was just about to die, and he couldn't even open his mouth. They couldn't even give him a drink of water. And the king said, right away, take off the centerpiece, take off the stone from my crown, and to crush it, to grind it, to prepare the solution. But they said, the servants of the king said, but your majesty, your son is, sorry to say, looks like he's already leaving the world. So the king said, look, if the prince is able to drink, if my son is able to drink and to live, then my life is worth it and the crown will continue. But if the prince is not alive, then what's the point of my crown anyway, that my kingdom is ended? If he dies, so what's the point? So Baltanya said that it's true that there are certain things that are revealed at the end of time, that we're teaching and talking about certain things that are very, very deep. And maybe in other times it wouldn't have been allowed. But the prince, the Jewish people, are mamish dying for some inwardness, for some depth, for the Torah of Mashiach ben Yosef, for the Torah of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon. And kivyachol, if the Jewish people are dead, then Hashem kivyachol is no longer alive either. Hashem is no longer alive. In the Aris of Rav Kook, translated into English, distance from awareness of the mysteries produces a distorted awareness of the sanctity of the land of Israel. Due to alienation from the secret of God, the higher qualities of the depths of godly life are reduced to trivia that do not penetrate the depth of the soul. When this happens, the most mighty force is missing from the soul of nation and individual, and Golus finds favor, essentially. To one who grasps only the outer surface, nothing fundamental is lost, with the loss of land, sovereignty, and all the ingredients of an intact nation. For such a person, the expectation of salvation is but a branch that never connects to the depth of Jewish awareness. This itself attests to the lack of understanding in such a lifeless approach. This is a tragedy that we must combat with counsel and understanding, with holiness and courage. Rav Kook says that those people don't learn the depths, or don't try to go lift the mishuzah, and they don't understand what's so bad about not having Eretz Yisrael. What's so bad that we don't have Eretz? What's so bad about Galus? Yes. What's so bad about Galus? You can still get credits in Galus, no? Isn't it true you can get credits? You can get credits in Galus. You don't have to be in Hebrew University to get credits, right? But Rav Kook says those Jews who are in touch with the depths of Torah, they're dying for Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is the land of prophecy, it's the land of the depths, it's the land of imagination, of the very essence of the secrets of Torah, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And if we lost our love for Eretz Yisrael, and if we could perceive living on and on and on, as long as we have our main street here or in Brooklyn, wherever it may be, it's because we're not in touch with the depths of Torah. Hashem should have compassion upon us. We should be able to, Mitzvah Hashem, celebrate the holy Yom Tov Lag BaOmer B'Simcha. We should be zoichim Mitzvah Hashem to taste the drop that gives life to the Jewish people, and that will keep us alive to celebrate together with Mashiach Tzidkenu, to celebrate with Hashem the Gula Saguf, the Gula Sanefesh, the Gula Hashlem of Amitis, Mehem Yamin, Amen, Amen.